You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Well, hi there, Browns fans, and welcome to the internet colossus of streaming that is OBR Weekly. My name's Barry. I publish the OBR. His name is Fred. He provides the actual knowledge and intelligence that guides this program. So my job is to sit here and point questions to him. I guess it's that direction. Point directions to him. He answers the questions, and we all come out a little bit better for it. Some programming notes for OBR Weekly. This show, if you're familiar with it at all, really depends on your comments and questions. We feed off of your comments and questions throughout the show, so feel free to participate in the chat room. We've already got some folks hitting us up with some comments and questions and rumors and so on and so forth. So we will comment on those. That way you don't have to put up with the stuff that I prepared and stolen from Ask the Insider, so on and so forth. So without further ado, Mr. Freddie Greetham, how you doing, Fred?
Doing great, Barry. Good open.
Yeah. I'm trying to be more of a conversationalist, less of an announcer. So I hope you approve of that.
Yeah.
So the first thing you can do, of course, Fred, is just clear up this Deshaun Watson mystery, you know, whether he's going to play or not. I'm sure you know, being there in Berea and have all the answers as OG Philly is demanding some answers right now as to whether or not Deshaun Watson's going to play. So what's the scoop?
Well, I'd give them to OG Philly, but nobody else. So I guess I could just whisper to him. I don't know. I don't know. It's crazy how, you know, I've been out there so long. We were talking about this amongst ourselves in the media room. A lot of, you know, there's 10 or 15 of us there, and a lot of us have been around for the entire time since the team returned, and there's always something with this team. I mean, I don't know how many teams go through three quarterbacks in a year, but if Walker starts, it'd be like the 10th time, I think, since 99, they've not just had one backup, they've had two backups play. So you hope it doesn't get to that, but it's almost surreal how this has been going, because it started out, you know, the guy played the rest of the game against the Titans. In fact, he threw a 43-yard touchdown pass. I realized he was still loose and stuff, but it seemed like, you know, that, you know, if you got significantly loosened up or whatever, there wasn't anything preventing, you know, for that success. And then, you know, you thought he was going to play. I watched him come out at 10 o'clock from the press box, and I saw him, you know, with his stocking cap on. He sure looked like he was all excited and ready to go. He was running all over the place, and then he went in, and then we got the word that he wasn't. And then, okay, it's a bye week for sure. You know, he's going to be ready for the four. If he's that close to the, you know, to playing against the Ravens. And now the way they're doing things, it really puts a big question mark, you know. He could have at least been out on the field, you know, on Monday throwing a little, but they chose to keep him inside. Today they came out and said, okay, he's not practicing today. He's just rehabbing. And, you know, when he – first of all, the quarterback usually speaks on Wednesday, whoever it is. It's always been the way it is. And we saw right away that he wasn't listed as a speaker for today. So he said, okay, what's going on here? And then no practice. So the secrecy continues. So I have no idea what he's doing. You know, the one little comment, Stefanski said that he was throwing on Monday more than he did before. Well, that was a low bar. He was lobbing the ball like 10 yards, you know.
Right.
So, you know, I would almost say the drop dead would be tomorrow. If he's not out there practicing, I don't see how you'd run him out there. In fact, you start to wonder, you know, if it's worth putting him out there against the top defense, you know, mm-hmm. in the NFL. I know each game's important and you'd surely like to get to 3-2. I don't know if he's 100% if you're going to get to 3-2, but you'd hate to lose him for the season, you know, to go out there. You know how teams, the reason they're so secretive about injuries, because they don't want the other team to target the injured. You know, yeah. Like if it's a hamstring on a DB, they don't want, you know, the opponent really to know the extent of it so they don't pick on them. Well, if you're a quarterback with a shoulder bruise, I think they're going to, you know, hit yeah. you in the shoulder, you know? And so I really don't know at this point. It's unfortunate, you know, how it is, but he made it sound, you know, he said, like Brad Steinbrook reported, that PJ Walker would be the backup today. He said that he's going to be elevated. So you really have to make a move, you know, with him. So now it's anybody's guess. But I would say tomorrow, you know, if he's out there and throwing it around, you know, I think it would quiet down a lot. But if he's really inside for sure, but if he's out there not throwing, you know, I don't know what to believe, but it's kind of one of them. And I understand a little bit from the Browns aspect. They said last week they were confident he's going to play against 49ers. They were confident he was going to play against the Ravens. Then he didn't. Mm-hmm. And so they feel like they're backtracking. Well, you guys said he was medically cleared. How come he didn't play? Well, I think everybody understands, is what Stefanski said the last 2 days, that you can be cleared, that you're not going to get hurt anymore, you know, or there's anything. It's just, can you function, you know? Can mm-hmm. you throw the ball 50 yards or whatever you need to on a dime? So that's kind of where they're at. And at this point, I'd be surprised almost. I think it's trending more that he wouldn't play, you know, because you got the 49ers. He's going to be less than 100%, I have to believe. You know, even if he would have started, you know, Monday out on the practice field, you would think, okay, he still might not be 100%. So I don't mm-hmm. know what percentage he is, but do you put him out there when part of his game's running, you know, and definitely throwing against a great defense like the 49ers? If they know he can't throw the deep ball, and we know the Browns' running game is suspect, that kind of puts you in a world of hurt.
Yeah, it certainly does. Now, the nature of this with Watson, you know, 2 weeks ago saying, oh, yeah, I'm going to play, you know, and telling reporters that, and then not playing. And then the team coming out and saying, well, he was medically cleared, you know, and he didn't play. All this spawns a whole series of conspiracy theories, right? And one of the conspiracy theories might be that the Browns are engaged in what that guy who writes the Newswire in the morning referred to as skullduggery about Watson's availability. And Manimal follows up with this question about whether there's any strategic advantage in being this secret with Watson's injury. I mean, everybody already knows it's the shoulder, right? I mean, you're not hiding anything there. But, you know, assuming Watson is getting closer, is there any strategic advantage to hiding him from practice on a Wednesday and telling us that he's, you know, day to day?
No, I don't think so. I think he's getting treatment. I think, you know, playing baseball and having shoulder injuries, maybe not the same one he has, but really it's just rest and time. There's things you can do to stimulate the healing process in there, but I don't think there's any necessarily, I don't know what you do rehab other than a rubber band and stretching and things he was doing before the game when he was mm-hmm. warming up. But I don't think there's any competitive advantage. Let me put it this way. I don't think the 49ers are spending any time on DTR or PJ Walker. They played against him last year when he was with the Panthers. I don't think they're worried. You know, I'm not saying they're not going to look at film, but they're not worried about them. They're right. more worried about Deshaun Watson. That's who they would prepare for. And anything less is a big drop off. They'll prepare for Watson as if he's 100%, you know, to try to take away, you know, what he does best. And if he doesn't play, I don't think they're going to be too worried, you know, about PJ Walker or Dorian Thompson Robinson. Obviously it's going to be Walker if Watson doesn't play. So don't think that's it. I do think I saw a comment. I don't know if you're going to bring it up, but I think it was Philly again. But as far as I do think they deferred a lot to Watson, Stefanski said a couple times leading up to the Ravens that Deshaun knows his own body and he knows what he can do. And I'm pretty sure he said, don't worry, I'll be ready to go by Sunday. And I think when he told reporters on Friday, he was 100% confident that he'd be able to play on Sunday. And I just think the Browns, they shouldn't have taken his word for it. And they should have been prepared because it didn't seem like they were. Dorian Thompson Robinson told us this morning that he did not know he was starting till about 10:30. And that was about the time Watson went in after I saw him work out. They had their little discussion. He decided he wasn't going to play. They went in and told him. And, you know, they can say all they want. You know, I prepare like I'm going to be the starter, but it's a different animal when you're getting all the reps and you're ready to go in that. And so I just think that they really were pretty confident that Watson was going to play, and maybe he didn't divulge how, maybe not so much how much it hurt, but they could see, you know, that he wasn't throwing it very far. Right. And, you know, and I don't know where you get that disconnect saying, don't worry, I'll be able to throw lasers, you know, in 2 days, but he couldn't.
Yeah. Now this whole situation, has people thinking that there is some sort of a disconnect between Watson and Stefanski, that there's some sort of a conflict between the two. Drew in Brick City is referring to it, that Lane was talking and answering questions on that subject and asked the insiders. I'm not going to talk specifically about what Lane had to say there. I don't want to take him out of context. And KA here talks about Stefanski not motivating or inspiring millionaire athletes in this day and age. Have you gotten any sense of that, that Watson and Stefanski may not be on the same page when it comes to things like play calling or the offensive sets that are being used, anything along those lines? Has there been any sense from the locker room that there's any sort of disconnect there?
No, other than Watson made a couple comments early after those first couple games when they didn't look very good, that they weren't, I took it as he was talking about the other offensive players. They weren't all on the same page. I haven't heard anything like that. It when things are going well, everything's great. When things are not going well, everything's not great. And right. There was a lot of positive coming out of the Titans game. The offense looked like it was coming together, at least in the passing game. Watson had his best game, threw for 289 yards, touchdowns, no interceptions, even without a running game. And, you know, so I think that's what it comes down to. Unfortunately, now with this injury, he's missed a week. He's had a bye week. Even if he plays, or when he does play again, you don't know if he's going to pick up where he left off or if we're back to square one and it takes two or three games to get him back ramped up. Mm-hmm. So that's the, you know, that's the deal here, you know, and coming back, if you're less than 100% against the 49ers, they're going to be licking their chops, the Nick Bosa's in that gang.
Yep.
They've been very strong against the run, and so they're going to try to take the run away. The Browns have been struggling there, and they've created a lot of turnovers. Where the Browns are at the bottom in the takeaway ratio, the 49ers are at the top. And mm-hmm. so, you know, it's going to be extremely tough. So I don't know, if I'm Watson, maybe I watch the game against the 49ers, then maybe I'll take another week of rest. I don't know. I'm just kidding. But as far as who knows, but I don't think there's a disconnect. But if you're not winning and things aren't working, that's when, you know, human nature is to kind of point the blame at other people. Well, it's play calling, it's this, it's that, mm-hmm. and so forth.
Yeah.
But clearly, you brought in a defensive coordinator to fix the defense, and through four games, it's been a success. You brought in the special team guy to fix the special teams. The last I looked, they were sixth in the NFL, so that seems to be a success. The offense, which you had all the freedom to do right now, you know, is down there, you know, at the bottom. They're like yards per game, you know, a little over 300, but they're really not, you know, lighting it up with scoring. They're only scoring about 19 a game. So that's where, you know, you need your work is on the offensive side. So it starts with a quarterback, and this injury doesn't help things. So maybe they are being a little bit of a, you know, hiding from the 49ers their intentions, but I don't think so. They were kind of, this started a couple weeks ago before the Ravens. If you remember, Watson wasn't on the injury report. They even did a pre-practice injury report the Wednesday before the Ravens game, and it had two names on it, Joel Bitonio and mm-hmm. Kareem Hunt. And Watson was out on the field, but we noticed he wasn't throwing. And
right.
And Stefanski conveniently talks before Wednesday practice, and he doesn't talk again until Friday after practice. He doesn't speak on Thursdays. So we were all kind of in the lurch until Friday. And that's when, you know, he said, well, you know, he's questionable for the game. It'll be a game time decision, you know. So that tells me that Watson probably never told him that his arm was as sore as it was until, you know, they got out to practice.
You know, so a couple of comments here I want to highlight and get your reaction to. This first one's from Todd on YouTube. He says, people, we are 2-2 at the bye. Stop acting like the house is on fire. And this next one's from old friend of the show, Paul. He says, sometimes I have to stop myself and say the sky's not falling this early in the season. 2-3 would suck, but we have a whole lot of season left. You know, the 28-3 loss to the Ravens, everything looked horrible, right? One thing, the passing game failed, the running game, you know, failed because they didn't take the passing game seriously. They could load up to stop the run. The entire offense collapsed because of it. The defense, you know, couldn't get off the field. The Ravens had plenty of times to get things running, and it just steamrolled, you know, turned into a 28-3, you know, clobbering of the Cleveland Browns. And it looked horrible. And people were left with that over the bye. As well as the Watson injury, and there's a lot of depression going around and people upset with the team and a lot of people thinking that there's, you know, all kinds of systemic problems with the organization.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Assume that Watson doesn't play, the Browns lose on Sunday, and the Browns are 2-3. What's your perspective on the rest of the season, Fred, at that point? Assuming that Watson does eventually come back in a week or two. You think the Browns are up against it, or do you think that maybe we're panicking for a little bit too soon?
Yes, I definitely think there's panic too soon. If you played the schedule game in April, I don't know how many people had them, you know, at this point. Or, I mean, yeah, it'd been great to been 4-0, 3-1. Should been. You could say either game, especially a Steelers game, you know, you handed it over. But I think the optimistic part of this is you did not have Deshaun Watson against the Ravens. If you would have got beat 28-3 with Deshaun Watson, I think it'd be a little more cause for concern. I already explained, I think last week, is that what was the way that game unfolded is a typical how NFL games go. Okay, they start a rookie quarterback. The defense had been playing lights out. They go 3-out. The Ravens could do nothing. And then he throws an interception that goes 52 yards to the 10-yard line. Jackson runs basically untouched for a touchdown. Boom. The game's pretty much over because it looked like the Browns weren't going to be able to move or score any points. And that jump started the Ravens offense. You know, they then, you know, scored three more touchdowns. You could literally say, though, two became because of interceptions. So Amari Cooper told me this, and I think it's so true. It's perspective. If you would flip that around, you play the Ravens in the third week and you lose 28-3, but then you come back and you play the Titans and win 27-3 going into the bye. I think everybody'd have a different view on the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I had the Browns, if they could be 3-2 after five games, I thought that would be ideal. But I wanted 2-1 in the division. They're going to be 1-2 in the division. Okay. Right. It's not the end of the world the way the division, you know, is lining up. But I doubt if they'll be 3-2. They'll probably be 2-3. No, it's not the end of the world. They have very winnable games coming up. I know a lot of people thought the Colts were going to be a cakewalk, or the Seahawks, you know, or the Cardinals. None of the games in the NFL are ever that way. There's always teams that you think are going to be bad that are kind of bad, but they can win any week. Just like the Browns could win this week. You know, when everything's going against them, and somehow the best thing that happened was the Cowboys got trounced by the 49ers, and the 49ers are now 5-0. They're going to win that division easily, and they don't need to go undefeated. So maybe they'll have a letdown. I don't know. But they're still very good. So all that being said, 2-3 isn't the end of the world. If it takes another week to get your quarterback ready, what would you do this week? Is if say Watson plays, they win, they're 3-2, but he gets hurt and he's out for the season. Or would you rather him not play, they lose, and then the rest of the season you have him? Right. The odds are probably in your favor to take the latter, where you had him for the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I'm just starting to think he's not going to play this week. You know, because they're going to have to look at this. If he, unless, like you said, he's nearly 100%, but they're just not saying anything. I don't know. I don't know. He's going to have to show him he can throw the ball because, you know, he could be a sitting duck out there if it's still bruised in there and you don't want him to have it go on for more weeks. So I just think that you have a schedule that is favorable, and I still think it's about winning the division. You can control your own destiny by winning those division games. You have a crack at all three of them coming back. You could still be 4-2 in the division and take care of the games you should win. I still see a path to winning the AFC North. It's way early. You're not even a quarter of the season yet.
Right, right. And yeah, I think you would definitely err on the side of caution with Watson, particularly since this is an NFC opponent, right? This is not an in-division opponent. It won't have the impact on the playoffs that even playing a team, an AFC team, you know, not in the AFC North would have. So, you know, if you're going to err on the side of caution, this would certainly be the week for it. Let's see here. I think Fred's screen sort of froze up, and he's going to be coming right back here. Drew in Brick City sort of has the alternative view. He says, yeah, we lost Chubb, and we have no clue what's really going on with QB1. Why wouldn't we think there's reason to worry? And I agree, there is things to be concerned about. I mean, the loss of Chubb, there's no way to understate that. You know, what that means to this franchise, not only in terms of the running game, but in terms of, you know, just what Chubb brought to that locker room. The guy who's the heart and soul of this team, you know, that is a huge loss, you know, for this franchise. And it is something to be concerned about unless they're able to revive that running game. I think is, you know, it's all valid points. I just think that, you know, we're not at the point at this point where even if they lose to the 49ers that it's time to give up on the season. You know, these first five games were going to be tough, and 2-3 is a bit disappointing, but not a sign of a total and complete collapse, in my opinion, quite yet. If that 2-3 turns into 2-5, then we can have a further discussion on this. Also from Drew in Brick City. For you, Fred, he wants to know if we can expect a bigger impact from Kareem Hunt this week or whether that's just wishful thinking. What are your thoughts on Kareem Hunt making a bigger impact on the running game this week?
Yeah, Andrew Berry said during the bye that they really looked at it as a group effort is what they, you know, and he mentioned Kareem Hunt along with Jerome Ford and Pierre Strong. I think it's going to be a committee. I think that's the way of the NFL, you know, much to the dismay of fantasy football guys. There's not going to be, if they didn't have Nick Chubb, they probably would. Their model long-term is going to be, I think, that 2-3 backs that you rotate around. Mm-hmm. But Andrew Berry spoke very highly of Jerome Ford. They really think he's a guy that can be their bell cow. Now, I don't know. We saw flashes of it, but Kareem Hunt, it seems like they've got him penciled into what he did, you know, the previous 4 years. Come in, you know, spell Ford, come in, you know, on third down, catch mm-hmm. balls out of the backfield. They felt Ford was maybe a better, you know, threat coming out of the backfield as a receiver than Hunt was at this stage. That's one of the reasons they didn't bring Hunt back. So yeah, I don't know. Hunt, the first week, right off the street, I was surprised he played as much. He was very sore the next week. In fact, he was on the injury report, and that's why I don't think he played as much. Now he had a bye week. I have to think he was out there today. I think he's feeling really good now. I mean, they really need him. They really need him to step up and be, you know, if he could be better than he had been last year and even a couple years ago when Chubb got hurt and he took over and looked like the old Kareem Hunt, they need that type of a back that can really be a 1-2 punch. And if need be, supplant Ford and be more consistent. I mean, these guys are getting 3 yards a carry, you know, and you're just not going to get a running game going like that. I mean, McCaffrey averages 5.2 yards a carry. Chubb has averaged over 5 yards a carry in his career, and it just magnifies the offensive line. Joe Bitonio's got something going on with his knee. Posick was back today, so that was a good sign. But you got a rookie at right tackle, hasn't been the greatest in the run blocking, and then you got Jedrick Wills. So, you know, you really got to get that offensive line, I think, more than anything, together in the running game, you know, working in tandem and creating some push, creating some holes to get the running game going. Our teams are just going to stack the box, especially if you don't have a passing game without Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. I'm just afraid PJ Walker this week comes in. I just don't see them being able to establish the run because they're not going to respect the pass, right? And that front four and those two linebackers in San Francisco are good enough that they don't need a lot of secondary help to stop the run or create a pass rush, you know, and they can just hang back and, you know, track the ball carrier. And I'm not being awful optimistic at this point. I'll shut up. At any rate, a couple of other questions. By the way, we have probably an opening. We've got about a half hour left in the show. We've got an opening for more questions. So if you've got them, hit us up in the chat room. This comes from chat username. He says, are there any updates on acquiring a player before the deadline? There's certainly rumors out there. And more than rumors, I would say that there's a lot of articles out there about the Browns' needs and trying to draw lines to Garrett Bowles, you know, the Denver offensive tackle, and drawing all these lines. There's much more of that than there is of legitimate rumors of interest and talks between teams that we can actually get our teeth into at this point. Do you think that this is likely at all? Do you think Andrew Berry pulled the trigger on you know, making moves on the offensive line or making some sort of a deal, Fred, before the trade deadline, just based on his tendencies?
Well, if it just stays the way it is and they're not forced to make a move because of a trade, yeah, I would only see something, like you said, on an expiring contract or somebody they feel that could stay beyond this year and help. I don't think they're totally enthralled with Jedrick Wills' play, but you hear him just say he knows he's supposed to play better. And
yeah,
but they obviously don't feel they have a better choice. You know, they obviously don't think James Hudson is better. And right now, I don't think they want to throw DeJuan Jones from the right side to the left side in the middle of his rookie year. So you're kind of left with what you have. So, and I don't think that with Bitonio's knee injury, I don't think they want to move him out to left tackle and jumble up the whole line. So I've said it before, in the NFL, it's so much different than baseball,
yeah,
or even basketball, where you can get a shooter in basketball who just shoots. Sure, he's got to know the but in baseball, a guy goes up and he hits. A hitter can hit, you know, home runs or whatever. Football, you got to learn the offense. It takes you a while to get accustomed to the, you know, these teams go to training camp and spend the whole off season together, and to throw somebody in the middle, you know, it just doesn't, you just don't see it.
Right.
And so, and who's out there? I mean, the Jets, I think the Jets thought they were a Super Bowl team defense wise. And they had high aspirations when they went and got Aaron Rodgers. He gets hurt on the first series. And I think they, you know, weren't sure Zach Wilson was the answer. So they were trying everything. But what were they able to do? I think they found a quarterback, Mike White, that used to be on their team. But you just can't just get, you know, somebody, pick them off the tree and say, right, okay, this guy's going to be an immediate upgrade. You know, you get a wide receiver, you get anybody, I don't know. If they're available, there's a reason they're available.
Right.
And I think he may make a trade for, but he's usually looking for a long-term, like a guy that would be here the rest of this year, but for the future, not just a 8-game, you know, person, and then they're gone. Unless, you know, they feel like that one player is the difference between the playoffs and not making the playoffs, but there's not, I don't know how many guys available are like that. A left tackle, sure, would be a, but I thought maybe they'd look at the guy they put on the practice squad. He's like a 10-year, you know, player in the NFL. I think he's 37 years old, and he's had good grades, you know, even last year, I think, in passing and stuff. But I think they're going to just continue to play who they got.
Yeah, I think that's very possible, if not probable. You know, the one guy who I keep hearing mentioned, which is the offensive tackle out of Denver, is I'm not sure he's as available as people think he is, because, you know, Schefter has been reporting that, yeah, Denver is in the getting ready to deal people off for future draft picks and so on and so forth, but mostly on defense, you know, not on their offense. And so I'm not sure exactly how available he is. The other position where they may be looking for somebody, believe it or not, is wide receiver. Even after all that work they did during the offseason, I'm looking at 2023 wide receiver production, a chart that was done that we talked about in our Slack today. And Amari Cooper is really the only wide receiver that we're getting decent production from. Donovan Peoples-Jones has disappeared. Elijah Moore is being used as a gimmick player. Do you think this team could use another wide receiver, Freddie? Do you think that they are just underutilizing the players that they have?
Yeah, it's a good question. There's a lot of factors. You know, Stefanski keeps talking about it. I don't know why they're not using quick slants. You know, you see these other teams, you know, with young quarterbacks, even like Brock Purdy, you know, they got good receiver, but they're like 1 second and they're throwing a 7-yard slant over the middle. Mm-hmm. Why can't you be using Elijah Moore in that instead of the horizontal east and west? And then it goes back to play calling, as it goes back to, is the offensive line getting blown out? There's, you know, you got the Watson situation now, and even before that, you had the weather game. So we haven't really seen enough to see the offense evolve. But this isn't what I was seeing in training camp with Elijah Moore and Marquise Goodwin before he went away. I mean, they got him the ball once, I think, for like -1 yard. They're definitely not executing, you know, or opening up, you know, the quick passing game. You know, when I said quick slant, seemed like you could do that with Peoples-Jones. You could do that with Moore. You could do it with Cooper. I have not been impressed in what I've seen so far. And sure, Nick Chubb going down is huge, no matter how you slice it, because you could always count on him, you know, to keep the chains moving and so forth. And so,
right.
It's now showing, is the offensive line maybe not as great as everybody thought it was without a Nick Chubb back there, or what, you know? So it's too early in the season to throw up the white flag, but you would like to see a little more, just find something that works well. And if it's Deshaun Watson, I think, like Jake says, more shotgun, more RPOs, you know, things that make the defense, you know, put pressure on them. We just haven't seen enough of it yet to see what's going on. But I think Moore has probably been more, not to use the word pun, you know, underutilized in what I thought. He's a 4-3 guy. Use him downfield, not east-west, right, horizontally, like running these little sweeps and things where he can't really – he's not big. It, one arm, they're pulling him down. So get him out there in space with a linebacker or somebody in a mismatch.
Right, absolutely, absolutely. There's a lot of discussion, on our forums and out on social media, if you can weed through all the nonsense on social media, about play calling, about offensive play calling. And I think a large part of it is because people felt that Stefanski didn't adapt his play calling for DTR, during the Ravens game. Not that I think that there were any really good play calls out there for Stefanski to make with an ineffective running attack and a quarterback who is clearly overmatched. But Steven from YouTube asked a question about players' reaction to the play calling. And sort of hidden in there is the notion that the play calling hasn't adjusted for Deshaun Watson. We heard so much during this offseason about how the play calling was going to fundamentally change, how the team was going to stretch downfield, and adapt itself for Watson, so on and so forth. And, we just haven't seemed to have seen it, during this year so far. Is that your sense, that we haven't seen what they were working on during this offseason for some reason? Or do you think that we actually have seen the work that they put in?
I haven't really seen it. What I saw down in training camp in West Virginia, I mean, they were throwing the ball deep and throwing it all over the field. And, play calling is always a topic. When things work, everybody's how great it is. But when it doesn't, it's just magnified. But I just haven't seen the vertical big chunk plays that they talked about and they put the concerted effort in. We haven't seen a deep game with Watson, partly because of weather, partly because of his shoulder. I think the closest we saw was that Titans game. And I go back to it. That's why this has been disheartening that, you've had the setback with the injury. Is whenever he plays, is he going to pick up where he left off, or just naturally, he usually takes you some time to get going again, And it really is hard to figure out, when you think of the year when Baker Mayfield and they were so effective, it just seemed like things were humming on, and they were playing within their strengths. And I just feel like they haven't been playing in their strengths, The right. offense would have done anything, in these first four games, they'd be 4-0. They'd be 3-1 for sure. So when somebody said the sky's not falling, it certainly isn't. But it could be, it could be a getaway, let the season get away from you in a hurry, And that's why this is so important here. The defense, we've talked all about the offense, is right behind the 49ers in rankings, but the 49ers offense comes in averaging, 30 some a game. They went over 30 every game, 33 points a game. And so the defense has got a tall task. They're going to have to shut down that 49er offense or slow them down to even give the Browns a chance.
Right.
So it's hard to imagine that that the defense holds the 49ers to under 20 points. But right. that's about what they're going to have to do to give the Browns a chance to win with PJ Walker. Watson can put up more if he plays. But any way you look at it, it seems like it's going to be a battle of the defenses.
My optimism is not overflowing at this point. Leland 440 makes a comment in the Twitch chat that Four has mostly failed to make good throws. Now, of course, we didn't see him against the Ravens, and we haven't seen him in a little while. But my mind keeps going back to Marquise Goodwin getting open down the field a couple of times and Deshaun Watson just not being able to deliver the deep ball to him effectively, not being able to hit him down there. I forget which game it was, but he was open
twice. I think
that was
the season opener, wasn't it, against the Bengals?
Against the Bengals, and he wasn't able to get the ball to him. And from Houston, when he was in Houston, he was able to deliver that deep ball very effectively. And it causes me some concern about
Watson. Well, they said in that game their excuse was the rain, you know, that it was knocking the ball down. I don't know. I took them at their word, but Burrow had a bad game as well. And they said the rain was bad. But, yeah, we haven't seen it. I saw it in practice, in training, in mini camp in the spring. Him and Goodwin were connecting on 60-yard bombs. He's hitting them in stride. I realize that it's different with a pass rush and all those things, but I think he's capable of doing it. I don't know if he is right now, you know, with state of his shoulder, but if it truly is intact and it's just resting, I just don't know, you know. Heard something like, even if, you know, typically this type of a bruise is a 2 to 6 week process. Well, now it's been, 3 weeks since they played the Ravens, or 2 weeks. It'll be 3 weeks on Sunday. So we'll see, you know.
Okay. A couple other questions which have popped up. This one is from Raphael. And he asks, is there a reason that Tillman has largely gone unnoticed to date? And it's a really good question, because Tillman was hyped by a lot of people coming out of the draft. You know, obviously one of our initial draft picks, considered to be, you know, quite a find at that point in the draft. But we just haven't heard from him. You think there's any particular reason for that? Browns just think Donovan Peoples-Jones brings his skill set to bear, and he just is in waiting for next year? Or what's the deal with Cedric Tillman? Why aren't we seeing him more?
Well, I mean, it comes from the position coach, Chad O'Shea, you know, is recommending the rotation of Cooper and Peoples-Jones and Moore and Goodwin as the top four. And that's kind of been David Bell a little bit, and Cedric Tillman a little bit. I think, you know, when you can look at the inactive chart on defense, like if there's six inactive, four or five of them are rookies, you know, especially on the defensive side, it just generally takes rookie wide receivers a while to get going. You know, David Bell never really got going as a rookie, and he's not doing too much this year as well. They just feel those other guys are ahead of them. You know, they haven't had multiple opportunities in the red zone, you know, that's what they talked about, him being a tall, rangy receiver to go up and get the ball. I mean, you could say that about a number. I know he had the burns. David Njoku, you know, I thought he was going to be used a lot more than he is. You know, he gets a couple targets a game, you know, and it's like, it just seems like they have weapons that they don't utilize. Other teams seem to find ways to get their guys the ball in mismatches. And that's what it seemed throughout training camp that they were going to do with Elijah Moore and David Njoku. Right. But to date, haven't really seen that. So, yeah, Cedric Tillman, I think, is somebody by the end of the year will probably work his way into the rotation. But I just think with rookies, they don't trust them till, you know, they've proven it over and over in practice that they're ready to go. And there's always somebody get hurt, and then they get put in the field, and then they have their chance to make a play, and then they get more and more playing time. I know there's, and I'm not comparing, I think it's Christian Watson with the Packers, you know, the first half of last year, it was almost like he was a bust, you know, and then the second half of the season, he was like rookie of the year or something. You know, it just sometimes takes a while for these guys' light to come on.
Yeah, it just depends on opportunity. Njoku, it just continues to be, for me, a disappointment. You know, they're watching Mark Andrews last week, and then George Kittle coming up again this week. Kittle catches 3 touchdowns against the Cowboys. He blocks like a demon. I mean, I know Njoku has all this potential, and he was a first-round draft pick and whatever. I just want to see the Browns have a tight end like those guys, you know. And it just never seems to come to fruition. At any rate, let's I know Andrew Berry talked about this last week about trading Josh Dobbs to Arizona. Has Stefanski said anything about that at all? Has he been asked about that or avoided the subject?
He wasn't asked about it. He defers those type things to Andrew Berry, but Berry did say that he wouldn't do anything without, you know, input from the coaching staff. So they were on board with the move. You know, in hindsight, I think they probably should have started PJ Walker against the Ravens. You know, if they were concerned about, or else they overvalued DTR's readiness as a rookie in the NFL, because when you look at things, okay, Josh Dobbs isn't really lighting it up. He, until last week, didn't throw an interception, but, you know, I think he's won one game as a starter, but PJ, you know, Walker has a better career record than Dobbs. He started seven games. I think Dobbs now has started seven games, and all his have been in the last 3 years. He started five last year. So I don't know if it's much different, you know, PJ Walker versus Josh Dobbs at this point. But with that said, that caught them. It seemed like they weren't prepared, you know. I think what they wanted to do, obviously, was only have two quarterbacks, and it cost them. They got caught where they really only had two on the roster, and because he was the backup, that's why he started, you know. So you're going to see him probably carrying three going forward, because they're not going to cut Dorian Thompson-Robinson, I don't think. That was the original problem, is they – feared he wouldn't make it, you know, to the practice squad, and somebody would poach him off it. So you're going to have to play with a player short and go with three quarterbacks if you're going to elevate Walker.
Yep. Well, let's talk about Walker a little bit. Paul asks, somewhat in a resigned fashion, have you heard anything about Walker that leads you to believe he won't get slaughtered on Sunday? Walker had a wonderful time of it in the XFL. He went 5-0 as an XFL quarterback, glittering statistics, not so much in the NFL, where he was with the Carolina Panthers, filled in for Teddy Bridgewater and Baker Mayfield at various points with the Panthers. Did not have the same fortune there, but does have experience. Any hopeful thoughts about P.J. Walker and him being able to do a little bit better than Dorian Thompson-Robinson? You think his experience will help out the Browns a little bit there, Fred?
Well, I think the best thing, and it could have been the same thing with DTR, is just manage the game. Don't make any mistakes. Don't turn the ball over. As I said, if Thompson Robinson doesn't turn the ball over three times in interceptions, you know, that led to two touchdowns. In fact, the one that really jump started the Ravens, who knows, but it's really not the formula to win in the NFL against top teams like the 49ers. It's a scoring a league. And I don't know if you can, even if the defense plays very well, I don't know if you can hold the 49ers down enough for a game manager to just get you enough. You don't have the strong running game. It doesn't appear that you did have. So, yeah, I think that just his experience is try not to put the ball in harm's way. When you look at it, he's thrown five career touchdowns and 11 interceptions. So that tells you he's usually playing from behind and he's throwing the ball, you know, and teams are, you know, getting interceptions. And so it's not a recipe for success. The 49ers are going to be, especially if they get a lead and the Browns have to come from behind, it doesn't matter who the quarterback is, you're more apt to turn the ball over or fumble on strip sacks and things like that. So I think that Walker has a little more skill set similar to Watson and Thompson Robinson. Hopefully they can have some design runs, even if they're 4 or 5 yards, just running around to the sideline where you're not taking excessive hits. That is part of Watson's game. And that's when he got hurt, a design run up the middle. You know, he got hit on the shoulder. And so I would think if you could have design runs, but have them more to get to the sideline so you're not taking the hits. But that would be, to me, I haven't seen him play in a game, but I would think that he's got that mobility. That's one of the things they like about him. And I don't think they did that with Thompson Robinson. It seemed to me, after watching him in preseason, he took off and ran quite a bit. And he only did that 4 times against the Ravens, you know. So if that's probably at this stage of the game, what he might be doing best is the design runs. I would do that a little bit more, you know, and run pass options, roll them out. And if they collapse on him, dump it off to the tight end or the back, that's, you know, make a decision, you know. So I don't know. I mean, either whoever starts, you know, if it's Walker, you know, I don't know how you could be optimistic that the Browns are going to, you know, be dynamic on offense.
The in the chat, and I love the chat. There is now an active conversation about Don Strock. Raul Huvana wanted to know if Don Strock was available for Sunday. Now, that's a callback, isn't it, Fred?
Back he's a few golfing. Years. He's well, that golfing. Was the year they had, I think, 4 starters. I think that was Kozar went down and Gary Danielson went down. And I don't know if Strock was the 3rd or the 4th, but yeah, they brought him in literally off the golf course. He's probably back there if he's living.
Yeah. I hope he's on a golf course somewhere enjoying himself, certainly. And that led to a whole discussion in the chat room. Question from Gagan in the, I think that's how you pronounce it, in the YouTube chat room. Does the front office even know what's wrong with Deshaun's shoulder? It is supposedly a contusion of his rotator cuff. I'm not a doctor, so I don't know what that means. There's a clip that we have from Brad Ward's show late last week where he had a medical doctor on talking about the situation with the rotator cuff. You can find that on the videos page if you're interested for a little bit more of a discussion about what's wrong with Deshaun's shoulder. So that's what we were told, right, Fred?
It's a bruise. That's what a contusion is. It's a bruise, and it's, I played baseball and I didn't really have a bruise. I had something with my throwing arm, and you know, if it's swollen in there, the ball doesn't rotate all the way. If it's impinged where it gets caught, then you can't throw at all. I couldn't throw at all. I had to have, you know, a cortisone shot, and that subsided the swelling and allowed me to then play again. But I don't know exactly if there's impingement. I just think it's a very sore bruise. I've seen him rolling his shoulder around when he was warming up with a rubber band and that windmilling. He looked like he had full range of motion and he wasn't wincing or anything like that.
Yeah.
So there's got to be something that's just not allowing at that point. Now, this again would have been almost 2 weeks ago before the Ravens game. So, you know, just be optimistic that he is close to 100% and he'll be ready to go. But I don't think they'll put him out there. I don't think he'll go back out there if he can't, you know, if he's like a lame duck where he can't throw more than 20 yards, you know, or anything like that. That does you no good at quarterback. You can't just rely and do gimmick plays like halfback passes and stuff like that.
Right. Right. Next question comes from Paul. He wants to know, do the YouTube folks have more than us Switch guys? More what, Paul? I'm confused. Are there more YouTube folks and Twitch folks? We don't know. We don't keep track. We love you all equally. So, it, you know, just roll with that. But Fred, I want to end the show talking about Kevin Stefanski, because we've gotten a lot of questions here from folks who are quite obviously skeptical about Kevin Stefanski. KA has written in a couple of times. He says, what are the chances that Jim Schwartz is the next head coach in waiting at the end of the season? He also wants to know if the team is right with Stefanski or not. Chat username wanted to know, do the players limit Steph or does Steph limit the players? You know, so on and so forth. I think that there is a... I'm sorry, there was a comment from our producer that our love is purely proportional to which number is bigger. At any rate, I'm sorry, I'm laughing at some of the stuff in the chat. At any rate, Kevin Stefanski, how would you rate the job that Kevin Stefanski has done so far this season? And just in general terms, there's a lot of dissatisfaction with him out there in the fan base because of, you know, what happened in the last couple of weeks, but what's your take?
Well, yeah, it's too early to judge this season. We really, you know, wanted to see what he was going to do with this offense, and you kind of haven't had all the pieces together. You know, you have a weather game, then you start getting it going with the Titans. That's what I said, with Watson and everything. You just want to get all the pieces and then see. So I don't think there's any excuses, but I want to see more, you know, games before, you know, at full strength. Now, you knew there were going to be a ding with Nick Chubb out. You knew there's going to be a ding with Jack Conklin out. Everybody has injuries, but I want to see, the most important one is Watson. You know, if you got him going, you know, then you're going to win a lot more games than you lose. If you can't do anything with him in this offense, then what's the point? So it really is kind of a mixed bag. But I think that Jim Schwartz, you know, is a logical candidate. Bubba Ventrone. But I don't know if Schwartz would want to at this stage of his career. But there are people there, you know, if they chose to make a move. But I just think it's way too early to do that. Talking about the injuries, you know, we just have a chat with the Browns going on. We had never got an injury report today, and they just said they just sent it. So I haven't even looked at it. But if you want me to see what they have on here.
Okay. Sure. In the meantime, apparently this whole YouTube versus Twitch thing is, my explanation that we love them equally has not been bought, by the crowd. And, there's agitation for a steel cage match, but, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, the Browns, all the guys that didn't practice were, you know, because of injury other than Amari Cooper. And, and the only one limited was Posick, who returned. Jerome Ford was on there with a knee. He was limited.
Okay.
But, yeah, Watson's on there, right shoulder, didn't practice. All the 49ers that didn't practice were because of rest. They only had one guy, Elijah Mitchell, who didn't practice with a knee injury. So, yeah.
So they're coming in healthy.
They're coming in healthy, and the Browns are – you know, a lot of questions. You know, we'll see what happens tomorrow, you know.
How unusual, you know, is that, Fred, that they don't get the practice, or they don't get the injury report out until 8 o'clock at night?
Well, they're saying they were waiting on the 49ers. They are on the West Coast. It's, I think, 3 hours.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, it's 5 o'clock out there, because that was the question. The Browns usually put it out at 4 o'clock on Wednesday and Thursday and so forth, but they've been waiting now until they get the other teams.
Okay.
And I thought they would have done theirs at 4, but yeah, they just sent it out. So,
all right.
Tomorrow's a big day. See what happens there, but who knows?
All right. Well, the Browns and their late injury reports are keeping me from bourbon time. So it's time to wrap this up. Thank you as always, Fred. I appreciate that. Your wisdom as always. Good sensei. And thank you as always to the people in the chat room for all your great questions, your comments, keeping us amused in your Don Cockcroft thoughts in the chat room that I've been following rapidly throughout the latter half of the show tonight. Thank you very much for attending. We will see you again tomorrow, or not tomorrow, next Wednesday at 7 p.m. for OBR Weekly. For Fred Greatham, I'm Barry. Good night, everybody.
Thanks a lot. See you.
Later.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.